This is ESPN Radio.
It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, streaming on ESPN Plus. You can also catch us on the app SiriusXM Channel 80 and your smart speakers. Mike Golic Jr., Super Bowl champion Chris Canty, hanging out with you guys. And listen, we've had a great group of guests come by today. Michael Gallup from the Cowboys, Brooke Pryor breaking down the Steelers with us, Harry Douglas helping us break down college football. But Chris, we got to head to the pros, because how are you feeling right now, by the way? I'm always curious for guys, spent a long time playing in the NFL. We get to week one now here. You've been in the broadcast business for a while here. You've been in the media side of things here. Do you still ever get the itch around the start of the season? Because I know for years, my dad always, even as a broadcaster, as long as he'd been doing radio, started to get to that point where my mom would get a little sick of him at the start of the NFL season, because that was just the old habits dying hard for him.
Oh, yeah, Mike, you always stay pumped up for the beginning of the regular season, right? Hope springs eternal, and every former player feels like they can go out there and give the team a few snaps right here and there and do that kind of thing. But listen, man, like, it's just one of those things, man. Everybody's excited about the start of the new season. Like, all of the teams are undefeated. Everybody has high hopes for what their team could actually do. I get fired up about this kickoff game, the defending champs being able to open it up, being able to put the banner in Raymond James Stadium. I think everybody's looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'm right in line with all those other former players that start to get that little itch about the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I had that itch for a second, and then I remember the first game I ever went back and watched in person when I got done playing. And listen, my playing career was markedly shorter than yours, Dad's, and a lot of other guys. But I remember sitting down there on the sideline, and I watched someone get hit right across. I was like, man, how do we do this for so long? These hits look a lot harder when you're seeing them after the fact right here. Like, maybe it's because I took anything resembling like the coat of armor on my body off here. But I saw one of those hits in person and I was like, no, I'm good coming in. No one in Bristol can hit me at all here. I send him to HR if that happens.
Yeah, Mike, but you know what it is though, man. There is no better feeling than being able to run out of that tunnel with your helmet on, right? Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, the part that kind of got me out of the door was having to get those pads on and get ready for training camp. Yep. Like, I am all set on training camp. I am all set on practice when it came to the last few years of my career. But in terms of playing the games, I do that for free. And I'm sure every former player will say the same thing. So that's why everybody gets geeked up. Everybody gets excited for the beginning of the regular season, because the games actually matter now.
Yeah, they say they pay you for Sunday, or they pay you for the rest of the week. Sundays are the ones that you would do for free. Although,
no doubt,
if we're looking around the NFL right now, Chris, we've seen a lot of guys who have made it very clear, I am not doing this for anywhere even close to free. We've seen a couple of that new trend going on in the NFL because the new collective bargaining agreement punishes so severely with fines for guys that miss training camp time in these holdouts. We've seen the hold-ins. We saw it work a couple of times in Seattle for Jamal Adams, for Dwayne Brown, their left tackle. And now we got T.J. Watt and the Steelers putting this to the test right now. And we had Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, on earlier here on Canty and Golic Jr. And we asked her, what's the likelihood we actually see T.J. Watt, who's holding out, wants that payday that the Steelers have not yet given him as of Tuesday of game week? And here's what Brooke had to say.
You listen to Mike Tomlin talk today. He was as forceful as he's been all this entire process, saying that he is optimistic a deal is going to get done with T.J. Watt. And, I mean, you guys know Mike Tomlin. He's not going to give away like one iota more than he has to. And this whole time he said, something will happen soon. We're going to let the process play out. But now he's throwing out the word optimistic. So he seems to think that it's happening. The players really would like it to happen. But I think it's now coming down to, do the Steelers want T.J. Watt badly enough to give in to some of his demands, to break some of their traditions and give him maybe more guaranteed money than they typically give guys when they're making these big deals?
And, Chris, you played for the New York Giants, one of these banner franchises we talk about in the NFL that's got these history, these ownership families like the Rooneys, like the Maras, that have been around for so long in this. But I look at a situation like this and go, all right, I understand. It says on big, bold letters, I went to training camp in Pittsburgh. The standard is the standard right when you walk in that building, so people know what it is. But I think there's a lot of guys that will also look around the locker room and say, all right, I know what T.J. Watt means to this team when he's on the field here. Why have we not taken care of this guy already? Because I always say, if you're not going to take care of that guy, the obvious guy, then everyone else kind of has to look in the mirror and go, all right, what do I mean to this squad?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, if you're the general manager, if you're Kevin Colbert, you have to realize that you're sending a message to your locker room at all times when it comes to who you decide to pay and when you pay him versus who you don't pay. And so when it comes to a situation like T.J. Watt, a player that led the NFL in sacks last year, a guy that's done everything right since he showed up in your building, highly productive, it feels like this is one of those things that they would get put to bed, especially with T.J. Watt taking the approach that he has throughout the course of the preseason and having this hold-in situation. Like, this is not something that the Steelers want to let bleed over into the season, and this is not something that you want to affect the culture that you fought to try to maintain throughout all of these years. So it just seems like one of those obvious no-brainers that the Steelers should get this done. And listening to Brooke Pryor talk about it, I know that means that they would have to make some concessions when it comes to the structure of the contract, when it comes to the total guarantee, when it comes to the average annual value. But I just feel like with this player, the guy playing at a premium position, it just makes all the sense in the world to be able to get this done. And when you also factor in the week one opponent in the Buffalo Bills, a team that a lot of folks could see in the AFC Championship game for a second consecutive year, like, you want to make sure that that defense is at full strength, and T.J. Watt is the biggest piece of that.
Yeah, our SportsCenter update anchor extraordinaire Christine Lisi and noted Bills fan during one of the last breaks immediately got in my ear and go, you know what? T.J. Watt should hold out. Get his money. He's earned it. If he's got to miss week one, so be it. So be it in the name of making sure that he gets what he deserves. And so I'm sure Christine is speaking for a lot of Bills fans here, Chris, but that's just it. When you're the Steelers team, I don't know how much you can afford to get off on the wrong foot. Like, no one expects them to go out here and beat the Bills, or at least I don't, with the revamped offensive line. But with that kind of defense, you've got to at least go out and show, all right, we're going to be able to buoy this team in the process, because the road's not going to get easier for so much change. New offensive coordinator, new line, like we mentioned, around a quarterback who's 39 years old and we're not sure has the fastball anymore.
Well, the identity of the team is on the defensive side of the ball. So, I mean, you do have a ton of question marks with the offense, but the thing that kind of covers up those concerns, or at least the thing that would give that unit a little bit of time to be able to figure it out, is your defense. I mean, you're talking about them having a top three defense from a year ago, and they're matched up in week one against the number two ranked offense. And Mike, I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to the Bills offense throughout the course of the preseason, but I mean, Josh Allen and that group have just kind of picked up where they left off. It was surgical what they did to the Packers in that first half of that preseason finale. And I mean, them adding Emmanuel Sanders is just going to make it that much more potent. So you need your defense to be clicking on all cylinders. And if you don't have T.J. Watt, then that's not going to be a possibility. So Kevin Colbert, I mean, he's their general manager. He knows what he's doing. But with this one, man, you got to know your personnel. And if T.J. Watt is committed to seeing this thing through until he gets a contract extension, then you need to go ahead and pay this guy his money so you don't derail your season.
The Bills are so good, they gave Mitch Trubisky the revenge game gift of a lifetime against the Chicago Bears in the preseason. They had Big Buff Mitch going out there and torching his old team in Chicago in that one. So the Bills are potent on that. But, Chris, when it's all said and done, I think we saw last year kind of a precedent for this, right? Cam Hayward got a deal done Monday of week one of the NFL season, one of their other great D linemen. I know it's going to be a different price range. I think this deal ultimately gets done before we get to Sunday. Do you?
Yeah, I think it gets done just because of what T.J. Watt means to this team. And then, of course, the position that he plays. I mean, pass rushers don't grow on trees. And you're talking about a guy that had 15 sacks last year. He led the NFL in sacks, knockdowns, and pressures. So to have a guy that plays that premium position at that age, it just feels like they would want to go ahead and lock him up long term. There aren't any character concerns when it comes to T.J. Watt. There aren't any health concerns. It just seems like with him being such a big part of the identity of your team, which is the defensive side of the ball, Kevin Colbert will go ahead and get that done. So it seems like it makes too much sense not to happen.
Checks all the boxes. So T.J. Watt and the Steelers still in a staring contest. We'll hear how it went at practice because, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be on the field. They're going to be doing this. Mike Tomlin expects him to be out there at practice. What does that look like for a guy who's made it abundantly clear he's not getting out there until they pay him his money? Coming up next, though, we mentioned T.J. Watt checking all the boxes. We'll see if the Dallas Cowboys can get them all checked before the start of the regular season on Thursday for that team. Why not just Cowboys fans are looking very closely at one of the star players for that team trying to make it back onto the field. We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Team in the NFL quite literally limping into the start of this season. An AFC hopeful trying to figure out who's going to be rolling out week one. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. But, Chris, we're now 2 days away from the start of NFL football. We got Thursday night football between the Cowboys and the Bucks, and it's going to be a great matchup. Like, we all know the Bucks are in a pretty good place here. Tony Gonzalez, Pro Football Hall of Famer, was on with Greeny earlier today and said the Bucks are clearly the best team in the league. Like, we got no bones about it. They brought back everybody on this squad. So I don't think a lot of people are worried about them, Chris. But when we look across the field at the Dallas Cowboys, that's where the worry starts to set in. We all watched on Hard Knocks as their quarterback, Dak Prescott, coming back from ankle injury, was dealing with a shoulder injury during camp. Had that as basically the dominant headline of that show. And then we heard that their starting right guard, Zach Martin, their all-pro, all-everything guard, put on the COVID-19 list at the end of last week. And so now we get this from Jerry Jones. He went on First Take yesterday and mentioned that he doesn't believe they're fully out of the Zach Martin in the starting lineup sweepstakes yet. Here was the Cowboys owner on the hope that he's got.
I'm still the guy that want him. He's going to be testing right up until game time, and maybe we can get a couple of negative tests out of him. He can get two negatives over the next couple of days, then he could play. Don't hold out for that. So, I'm always looking for that pony in there somewhere. He's arguably the best player. Best of what? The best player. And you go in a game against the world champions, not have your best man there, that's a setback.
So, Chris, is it just as simple as if your best player is ready to play, it doesn't matter how much he was able to practice, that he's coming off the COVID protocol, anything like that, you just drop him in there?
No, you play him. I mean, Zach Martin is arguably the best guard in the National Football League, and if he's not number one, he's on a really short list of a couple other guys in terms of being the best at that position. So, yeah, I think if Zach Martin is able to be available, if he ends up having a consecutive negative test within the window of time that it takes in order to be out there on Thursday, then you absolutely do it. But, I mean, I don't think Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy are doing their team any favors by coming out there and publicly talking about it. Like, to me, that's something that, okay, if we gets to game day and Zach Martin is able to be active, then you throw him in there. But you have to plan like you're not going to have him. Everybody has to move forward with the mindset, okay, Zach Martin is not going to be there. We have to adjust our game plan accordingly in order to try to give ourselves the best chance to have success against that Buccaneers team. But I don't think you do your franchise, you do your team any favors by coming out here and entertaining the remote possibility that Zach Martin might be able to play on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's a different kind of preparation, I think. And for this team that's got so many variables, like, I don't know, Chris. I look at this matchup and I say, this is probably going to be the most important matchup on the field, right? The Cowboys offensive line versus a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that we just saw harass Patrick Mahomes during the Super Bowl. Now, I know their O-line was beat up in a way that even this Cowboys group isn't currently. It sounds like Lyle Collins is going to be out there. Hopefully Tyron Smith is back and healthier than he's been. But, God, it's still one of the overwhelming strengths of the team that just won the damn Super Bowl last year. And so if Zach Martin's not out there, it changes everything about the way you go about this. Certainly your depth's already compromised then. But in protection now, you've got to think about the way that you allocate resources to block some of those dudes up front here. And so I'm with you. You put him back out there, but that's got to be communicated clearly during the week right now to whoever's going to have to step up in his place.
Absolutely, and you want to instill confidence in whoever that right guard is going to be, right? Like, I understand that Lyle Collins will flank him at right tackle, and you'll have Tyler Biadasz and Connor Williams and Tyron Smith, but whoever that person is that's going to step in and play right guard, like, you want them to have the confidence that they're going to be able to go out there and perform. Hearing Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy talk about Zach Martin doesn't give you that kind of confidence. So I just feel like it serves as more of a distraction for a team in a time where they really can't afford it, seeing as how they're going up against the reigning defending Super Bowl champ. So, I mean, this is a huge matchup for the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that has a ton of expectations on them in 2021, and rightfully so, because, Mike, I got to think, if this group can't get it done with the division that they play in this season, then you're probably talking about this core of players not being able to get it done at all. I don't know how long Jerry Jones can keep the band together if they're not capable of being able to go out there and win the division this season.
Well, I mean, that band starts with Mike McCarthy, a head coach, right, who, I feel like a lot of people were sours on pretty quickly last year. He's already fired his defensive coordinator, which is usually the move you do when you're in the death rattle as a coach yourself. Like, I don't know if his job is this safe this season if all of a sudden we're talking about a Cowboys team that, again, you're right, you look out in this division. Philadelphia Eagles, not a lot going on there in a good way. The Washington football team's got Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback. Roller coaster in the waiting. The New York Giants don't have an offensive line. Like, this is a very winnable division. And if they don't get it done, I got to imagine there's going to be some people that look at Mike McCarthy, who supposedly invested in analytics while he was away from football, had to sleep over at Jerry Jones' house.
It didn't look like it in year one. It didn't look like it, man. I mean, listen, this team was really not that competitive in terms of their expectations coming into the year. Now, a lot of that had to do with Dak Prescott and the early injury, but still, just with all of the things that they had going on, it wasn't what a lot of folks expected from Mike McCarthy in year one of coaching this particular group. So, again, I go back to when you look at this Cowboys team, when you look at the contracts that they have and what those salaries are going to be beyond 2021, like you realize how much pressure is going to be on these guys to be able to get it done this year. And it starts on Thursday night. They have to come out. They have to be competitive in this game. I'm not saying that this is a must win. Obviously, it's week one in a 17-game regular season. But, I mean, this is an important game in terms of sending a message to your division and the rest of the league about what the Dallas Cowboys are going to be about in 2021.
It's huge. And so we're going to wait and find out if Jerry Jones gets those negative COVID tests from star guard Zach Martin that he's looking for before Thursday's game. We'll keep a monitor on that one and everything, as you're right. There's always pressure down in Dallas towards the start of the season. Coming up next, though, for one of the AFC hopefuls, mounting injuries. Should we already be hitting the panic switch on the Baltimore Ravens based on what we've seen this preseason? We'll get to that after this word from Rumble On. Now, you have a motorcycle, ATV, even a truck that's just sitting in your garage you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free, anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you're just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO. Get you a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash. How worried should we be for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Next on ESPN Radio. The phrase yellow glizzy was just uttered during the last commercial break around here. And I don't know how we're supposed to feel about this. Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. I guess we're going to watch some people eat mayonnaise-covered bananas in about 10 minutes here on the show, which is a sentence I never thought I'd get to say, Chris, but thankfully we got some wild people that work in the network here.
Yeah, we do. And we had some wild people down in that game in Charlotte for the Duke Mayo's Classic between Clemson and Georgia. I remember watching the game day show, and you just saw a guy pour a whole vat of mayonnaise all over his body. It was just like, that's so repulsive at that point. Like, first of all, I don't like mayonnaise to start with, but then to see somebody actually take a whole vat of it and pour it all over themselves, I mean, I was having a hard time trying not to throw up in my mouth. That's how disgusted I was at the optics of it.
Well, it's just it's the smell more than anything, because the visual, like, you know what? Like, it's just the visual didn't really freak me out. Chris, it was imagining what it smelled like. Because you know that dude on college game day was not going to go home and shower right after that.
Oh, no.
He was going to be out there for at least another 3-4 hours baking in the heat covered in mayonnaise. I just want to know, is that a pickup line that you can use later?
Oh, ain't no way that's a pickup line that you can lose, especially if you're trying to actually get somebody that you really want. Like, that's not a story that you go up and tell a girl, like, hey, this is kind of cool. I think this is going to actually get me to be able to pull this what I'm trying to get at. But I'm just – I don't understand the rationale behind thinking that was a good idea – putting a whole vat of mayonnaise all over your body. It just doesn't even make any sense to me.
Listen, when in doubt, sometimes you just got to pull the trigger. The fine folks at the Duke's Mayo Classic asked someone to do it, and this champion stood and delivered. So we'll get to the chain reaction of things that caused right here. But you mentioned logic, rhyme, or reason, anything like that. We've thrown it all out the window. Like, we just all realized during the last break, too, we were supposed to do division previews again today. And we've just tossed that out of the window because we're all just ready to stop making stuff up and get to actually talking about on-field football. Unfortunately, in the case of the Baltimore Ravens, that just means updating you on who's hurt yet again for this team. Because now, J.K. Dobbins, their starting running back, out for the season, unfortunately, with an injury, as was Justice Hall, which was just announced yesterday. And so Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, actually just tweeted that having lost running backs J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hall to season-ending injuries, the Ravens are signing veteran running back Le'Veon Bell to their practice squad. He soon is likely to be added to the 53-man roster when he's ready to go. So, Chris, for this one, Le'Veon Bell's a guy we've seen now kind of making the rounds after leaving Pittsburgh in the way that he did here. How much is this really going to actually be able to help the Ravens?
Yeah, I don't know how much punch Le'Veon Bell is going to add to that running backs group. I think it's more of an insurance policy in case Gus Edwards and Tyson Williams, their second-year player that was a college free agent, if those guys can't carry the load. I think that's kind of the insurance, that's the hedge for John Harbaugh and company. But, I mean, in terms of what the Baltimore Ravens are going to look like offensively, it's going to be business as usual. It's going to be our regularly scheduled program with a run game that's built around Lamar Jackson. And, Mike, you know this. When you have a quarterback that's a threat to run the ball on these design plays, like it puts the defense in a bind. The math doesn't add up in terms of having enough bodies to be able to slow that run game down. Like from an X's and O's standpoint, the defense is always going to be behind at the point of attack because the offense is going to have a hat for a hat, and you got the quarterback as a ball carrier, or you have the quarterback optioning off of an unblocked defender. Either way, the defense is going to struggle to be able to slow it down. So I just look at where the Ravens are at right now, knowing that Gus Edwards was their second leading ball carrier from a year ago behind Lamar Jackson. And I look at it and I say the Ravens are still in a good, pretty decent spot, even though they lost J.K. Dobbins and they lost Justice Hill.
Well, now the Ravens are breaking moves by signing Le'Veon Bell to the practice squad.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
And Chris, I will say the one thing that worries me about all of this is when you look at how the Ravens are going into this season, and we know the AFC North has changed a lot. I mean, we're talking about the Cleveland Browns as what I think is the clear favorite of this division. I don't know where you're on that, but I look at the Browns right now, and I say, yeah, I expect that team to go out and win this division. We're all wondering. We've talked at length about the Steelers. But for the Ravens, Rashad Bateman, one of your top picks at wide receiver, who was supposed to come help bolster that room, down with the groin surgery through training camp right now, not going to be available for week one. And I really worry that because of all the turnover, some changes on offensive line, hoping Ronnie Stanley's healthy there, that the early season returns on this, some of the growing pains for this group, could feed that audience of people that's looking for any slip-up from Lamar Jackson to say the league has figured him out. We heard those reports from unnamed sources telling Jeremy Fowler that people believe that the league is close to figuring Lamar Jackson out, which I don't know about you, I think sounds insane.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's figuring Lamar Jackson out. I mean, he's still one of those guys that you look at as a singular talent. Like, there is nobody in the NFL that does what he does. So I think he's going to present problems for opposing defenses for years to come. But as far as the Baltimore Ravens are concerned, for this franchise, it's about competing for championships, right? I mean, they've been there when they've won the division. They've won 14 games in a regular season with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. They won a playoff game last year on the road in Tennessee. So now it's about this team being able to take that next step, this team being able to ascend. And a lot of people are looking at that and saying Lamar Jackson has to evolve as a player. He has to grow into a quarterback that can consistently beat you from the pocket down the field outside of the numbers. And that's where the Rashad Bateman injury weighs heavy for me. Like, not having that big body target that can be a guy outside of the numbers, that can be a playmaker for Lamar, I think it's going to, you know, stifle his development in that area of his game. So you heard a lot this offseason about Greg Roman wanting to emphasize Lamar Jackson being under center, being able to utilize more play action, turning his back to the defense, opening up shot plays down the field. I just think that with some of the injuries that they're going to have early on in the season, some of those elements of their offense are going to be a little bit slow going. And so we'll kind of have to wait and see what that offense has to grow into in order to be effective in that area.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them in that position room that also looks and says, hey, Mark Andrews, we just gave you $30 million guaranteed in that bag. Be ready to catch a lot of balls in this one. Because that's also been the position group that I'd say outside of Lamar Jackson has defined this team, right? 12 and 13 personnel, 2 and 3 tight ends on the field at a given time, running in every direction. It reminds me of the Rush Hour scene where Chris Tucker says, which one of y'all kicked me? Like, that's kind of how it feels, getting blocked by Patrick Ricard and the rest of these guys in that Ravens tight end room. And you'd have to imagine they're going to have to shoulder a lot of that load early on this season, because it is, Chris, one of those things where I think Lamar gets a bad rap in the passing game. He was electric there during his MVP season. He was right there in a passing offense ran by Bobby Petrino, going back to his time at Louisville when they were actually good. But it's just now you look around, some of the guys that they brought in, Miles Boykin, Hollywood Brown, haven't necessarily given you the punch that you're looking for. And now Greg Roman and company are having to get even more inventive. So between them and the Steelers, I think we're going to see more teams under center in the AFC North than we have in a little bit around there.
No, I'm agreeing with you on that one. But when it comes to Lamar Jackson specifically, it's just one of those things where you have to question, you know, once we get into January football and you have other explosive offenses in the playoffs, offenses like the Buffalo Bills, offenses like the Kansas City Chiefs, like if the game gets out of hand, if you get down by double digits, is it going to be a situation where Lamar Jackson can throw you back into that game? I think that's the thing that folks are waiting to see when it comes to Lamar. And I think if he can check that box, then there's no reason to think that the Ravens can't be a true title contender out of the AFC.
And the Ravens, again, trying to patch some holes on the side of the ship right now, according to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, after losing J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hall to season-ending injuries. They're signing veteran running back Le'Veon Bell to the practice squad in hopes that he'll soon be ready to add to that 53-man roster. Coming up next, though, we're going to find out about everyone's stomach around here as we put it to the ultimate test. The flavor combination from hell greets you next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Antti and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. We have Michael Gallup, Cowboys wide receiver, stopped by earlier. Let us know how Dak Prescott's looking going ahead into week one Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, stopped by for the latest on T.J. Watt's hold in with that organization. And Harry Douglas, our ESPN football analyst, and you can catch him on ESPN College Game Day Radio on Saturdays, stopped by to tell us what the hell happened to his Louisville Cardinals, because it wasn't pretty last night. With Lane, I saw Lane Kiffin after that game, so anyone who wins that kickoff down there apparently had to put on a leather helmet. Nick Saban did it after their win. And, of course, Lane Kiffin had it ready at home where he was watching the game, got it put up on the Jumbotron. It felt like peak college football very early.
Oh, yeah, it did, man. But just to watch Ole Miss and that offense go to work, Matt Corral, like, I mean, they lit up that Louisville defense. Like, I just kept screaming at the TV, do any of y'all DBs from Louisville want to get up and press these receivers? Like, does anybody want to deny vertical entry? Like, it just felt like it was a 4x1 track meet. That's what it looked like with the receiving core from Ole Miss going up against that Cardinals secondary.
They said, you don't want zero problems, big fella. So that was a tough way to start the season for them, but we're looking forward to starting this NFL season. Let's bring it home. Let's lock and load. Let's keep that same energy here, Cliff. Because keeping that same energy, I'm already wondering why one of Chris Canty's former New York Giants teammates, Eli Manning, is going to be a guest Thursday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max at 9:40 a.m. and not on the show with us. This feels like betrayal from your boy here, Chris.
Just a little bit. I'm going to have to get an EZ's ear about this one. Like, we got to straighten this one out, because there's no way he's jumping on that morning show and he's not coming on the afternoon drive show. So we got to get Eli Manning on the show, especially with me being a part of it now. That's got to happen.
Exactly. You got Chris Canty hanging out with us here every day, 4 to 7 Eastern, having a great time, which means Eli Manning is going to find his way over here. But Eli Manning's busy. He's got stuff going on this fall. Someone else who's not as busy is former UConn head coach Randy Etzel, who was relieved of his duties, a mutual decision between him and the athletic director, after he announced that he was going to step down at the end of the season. And then the locker room kind of made it clear, no, that's going to probably start now. And so we thought we'd help out with the coaching search here. UConn is right in my backyard here. It's a place that was my first offer coming out of high school, and want to see him do well. And so we thought we'd go with the Ted Lasso model here. Take a coach that plays football or likes football. In the case of Ted Lasso, if you haven't seen the show, American football coach goes across the pond to coach AFC Richmond, a European soccer club. We got a big soccer fan here in Liam Chapman, who works in ESPN Radio. We thought we'd try the reverse lasso and send him to coach the UConn Huskies. So here's an audition. We got him firing up the boys, firing up the team, getting ready to go.
All right, lads, gather around, gather around. Here to give you a big, big kick in the knickers. You need it. We're down, what, 10? 10 with 5 left in regulation. That's not counting stoppages. That'll be an extra 3, 4, 5, depending on how many times it goes out for a throw. Sweeper, mark him up at the far post. Don't use your hands. When you're trying to tackle, use your legs. And don't worry about the yellows and the reds. I've got all those. I've got two in my pocket here, see? Intensity is not a perfume. Striker, come here, son. Listen, look me in the eyes. God, your breath stinks. Don't worry about it. You got to strike it like a crusader. You, take it to the corner. Kick the corner in. He's going to head it. Bob's your uncle. We've got it going. And finally, for the lot of you, play like you want it. Attack, attack, attack. Play with the heart. Play with the heart of the lion. The three lions. Under no circumstances do you play like a husky.
I got to be honest, if we've watched the first couple of games, not tackling with their arms already seems like it was on the menu.
Yeah, I mean, this Randy Edsall situation is the perfect example of why running it back isn't always the best idea. The last 3 years, I think there's something like 6-32. So, yeah, I don't think Liam Chapman could do any worse than that. So why not? Let's take the Ted Lasso approach and find them their next head coach.
He's ready and waiting. We'll draw up the paperwork whenever you guys need. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And so while we figure out that situation for UConn here, we got to address the yellow elephant in the room, so to speak here. So we had a lot go on this weekend. Kentucky quarterback Will Levis got internet famous for eating a banana with the peel on it. We had the Duke's Mayo Classic College Game Day with Georgia and Clemson, where we had a fan douse himself in mayonnaise here. Why don't you guys take a look at this unbelievable moment that came on Thinking Out Loud in the SEC Network every Monday with Spencer Hall and Richard Johnson. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, you're seeing the Mayo Man himself bathing in it, basking in it, letting it become one with his body and soul. But it's time for this celebratory moment of the week, brought to you by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate. Championship savings for the win. Spencer Hall and Richard Johnson on Thinking Out Loud saw banana, saw mayo, and brought them together in the middle for something big.
Can we please get this over?
Oh, yeah. No. We're going to get that in there.
Okay.
All right. I'm doing it. Let's go.
What a welcome. Oh my God.
You know, honestly, this is not the worst thing I've ever eaten.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I feel bad for whoever has to clean that out. I had a glass of water over here. I need that back. I need something.
I'm going to go back for more, actually.
Nobody eat mayonnaise this weekend. Not on college game day, not on any college football game, not in any stands. I'm not doing that again.
So for those of you listening on ESPN Radio, Spencer Hall, Richard Johnson, Thinking Out Loud, Mondays on the SEC Network at 7 o'clock Eastern. Spencer Hall both dunked bananas into mayo, took a bite, and Chris, Spencer went back in for another bite here. How much do I have to pay you to do that?
Let me tell you what I ain't going to do, Mike. That's not going to happen. There ain't enough money in the world to get me to do that. First of all, I don't already like mayonnaise. Like, I can't stand mayonnaise. I think it's a useless condiment. But then to actually dunk a banana in it and then eat it like that, ain't no chance you getting me to sign up to do something like that. No shot.
Honestly, and I can't believe I'm just thinking of this now, I bet Dan Orlovsky would love this. This fits the perfect flavor profile of a guy who went out on Twitter, our ESPN NFL analyst, and tried to claim that oatmeal raisin cookies are better than chocolate chip cookies. Dan seems like...
He's out of his mind for saying something like that. Hey. Like, how dare he?
I'm worried about him, genuinely, but this feels like something that, again, not to judge the proclivity or the type of people that might be into eating or bathing in mayonnaise and what their particular hue might look like, but it skews very Dan Orlovsky in this. So.
Yeah, isn't he one of those guys that likes putting ketchup on macaroni and cheese? Yeah, I don't know if you could take any advice from him on good food options. Just saying.
No. Dan's got a storied Twitter account full of bad food takes that get it popping like that. So we know from 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday, Canty and Golic Jr. will not be dunking bananas in mayonnaise. That much we've figured out through one show here. Stick around with us. Stick with ESPN Radio coming up next. Spain and Fitz might try it.